When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. And that means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch, and that will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And I'm delighted to say we have a full table to set here this morning, and it's a lot better Sunday morning than it was last Sunday morning. At least I see a little blue sky out there, and I didn't get rained on the way, and I understand that there's a phenomenal week of weather coming up. Speaking of that, the weather guy and the everything else guy, and then we couldn't do it without him, Guy. Animal World production engineer is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Martha. Yes, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And this guy says, nice weather coming.
Nice weather coming.
Yeah, time to mow our lawns.
Well, speaking of that, now you were on top. You said you were ahead of the neighborhood last week.
Right.
I was behind.
I've since fallen behind.
Well, I'm farther behind than you because I'm way behind because I didn't catch up after last week. Because I didn't have any time to cut when it was dry. And yesterday was my opportunity, and I was just too busy. I had a big fundraiser last night to go to, and it didn't happen. But I'm so pleased that a nice week of sun is coming, so I'll be out there cutting soon.
Wednesday will be your best day. Things will dry out tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday should be the warmest day of the week.
Well, that's good to know, because I might be able to do that on Wednesday. I was hoping for tomorrow, because it's that time of year where you can just, like, sit there and watch it grow. And now combine that with cottonwood, and I tell you, it's still snowing at my house. Anyway, we'll get to the grass. So, let's get to the table here, and as usual, call screener Kathy is here, and she's in the studio this morning with us. Good morning, Kath.
Good morning.
And everything, you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today, so everything's good with you?
Very good, yes.
All right, and in the mood studio on her own, the other side of the glass, that would be call screener Ajie is here. Good morning, Ajie.
Good morning, Martha and Mike.
And you're bright-eyed, too, and everything good with you?
Oh, everything's great.
All right. Then briefly, I'll introduce our feature guest today in the studio. Before we get serious about the subject, but just so you know he's here, and he knows he's here and can chime in on whatever else we're talking about, that would be Dr. Dennis Wackerbarth, veterinarian.
Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. It's just such a delight to have you here. I can hardly keep my mind on doing everything else I need to do before we get serious. And I tell you, we could probably do a 10-hour show today. There's so much to talk about. And, I mean, we have just been talking nonstop since we got here.
True.
Yeah.
And I
knew, it's a little embarrassing to say, well, we just celebrated 20 years on the air for me in Animal World. And it's a little embarrassing to say that I haven't done a Vet Sunday with Dr. Dennis before.
We all started about the same time then, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Relative to the hyperthyroid, anyway.
Yeah, we did. And of course, that's going to be our major topic of discussion today, which, of course, will be cats exclusive and hyperthyroidism. And we will get into more details about all of that. But no time like the present to catch up with what we could have been doing over the last 20 years. But I'm delighted to have this conversation. And like I said, I think this will be the first of many. Let's see. In addition to that today, I don't have a lot to get us going. I've got one event happening today that I've got to tell you about up front. A little bit. No follow-up to speak of that I'm aware of, and just a smidge of news, but then we're going to get right into our Vet Sunday and not mess around with that stuff. We will do current events about 10:50 today as usual. I do have a tip scheduled for 11 o'clock. That's a recorded tip, and it was either going to run fleas, Martha's four-step flea plan without chemicals, or dealing with our animal friends, keeping them safe in hot weather because we're headed into another hot weather streak. But don't hold me to that, because probably by the time we get to 11, there's going to be like, yikes, we only have an hour left and we've got so much more to talk about that we'll probably just dump it. So there you go. And our generous sponsors, Designing Health, are continuing their giveaway of Missing Link supplements. So if you're feeding cooked and processed foods, then it's exposed to heat, light, and oxygen. That begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. So that's why Designing Health created Missing Link, and we'll give you a free package. And it's a full package, not a sample, and you don't have to get a coupon, go to the store. It gets mailed right to your door, and you get to choose between the ultimate feline formula, which I'm sure would appeal to Dr. Dennis, and two formulas for dogs, one for birds, and a wellness blend that's vegetarian. You can feed both your dogs and cats and sensitive animals. And what you have to do is pay attention and listen for the missing link word or words of the day. And I will give them to you after I do the missing link commercial. That'll come up sometime during the show today. And I'll, of course, give you a hint what's coming along. But jot down these phone numbers. You're going to need them for more than one reason today. You'll need them to win the missing link. If and when you hear the words of the day, but also if you have a question for our guest. It is Vet Sunday. We will have open phone lines today. So have you questions about medical care questions about your kitties? Well, I suppose you may. Do you guys at Cats Exclusive? I would imagine that you get some behavior issues to deal with as well. So.
Oh, yeah. We've got seven docs, and we get lots of issues.
Yeah. So we'll get into all of that. So if you got to go, basically, we're doing cats. Okay. So if it's in a dog suit or any other kind of animal suit, not today, but it's in a cat suit, you can call in, and we'll let you know when we're getting official with that. And phone numbers, local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime during the show to our live email address. It's very simple. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. Use that only during the show, because we don't check that mailbox during the week. And I forgot to tell you that if you're calling in to win the missing link, when we get to that part of the show, you have to be 18 or older. And if you've won a contest on any of the radio shows on this station in the last 30 days, you're not eligible. And like Mike and I tell you, Mr. and Mrs. KKNW, pay attention. So you're on the honor system, but as long as you haven't won something in 30 days, then you're good. Okay. I think that covers our bases. So we can get official. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Yep. Ready.
Okay. Well, it's Sunday morning, and we officially start the show to honor the saint that guides and has guided my work with the animals for the last 20, 25 years. So to get things started here, it's St. Francis of Assisi's Peace Prayer. Lord, grant me thee. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. And we are official. All right. And boy, did we need that last week. We had some controversial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then that I do kind of have some follow-up related to that. So maybe before I get to happening today, we discussed kind of the last Sunday of the month, Dr. Dennis, is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. We had to cover a kind of very unpleasant situation that happened relating to a local animal rescue shelter.
And it was very sticky situation.
It was a sticky situation
for you to have to deal with.
Yeah. So we did one side of the story, and I let you know I'm not going to mention the name of the organization again because I don't want you guys beating them up. I told you that was not what it was all about. But I have offered them an opportunity to join us next month on the show on our shelter rescue update and share with us about their organization and help us make sure that the situation that happened doesn't happen again and that an animal doesn't die that doesn't need to die. But at any rate, I had a great conversation going with them, and 2 days before last week's show, it was like they'd be right back to me and let me know if they're going to come, and then all of a sudden, communication just stopped. So I don't know. I can't tell you. I didn't hear anything, and I was too busy this week to track them down. So I will start on Monday and say, like, hello? You know, are you guys, like, blowing us off, or are you going to come join us share us details about your organization and so forth. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But the invitation is out there. So we'll see. But that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Then, happening today, if you are looking to add a new animal friend to your family, the Bow Wow Meow Luau adoption event is going on today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Denny's Pet World in Kirkland. You know, that's real easy to find at Totem Lake, right off of 405. Over 100 animals from 16 rescues around the state. It is sponsored by Positive Alliance. PositiveAlliance.org is their website if you want to get more details. But today, from 10 to 2 at Denny's Pet World, if you're looking to adopt. And there'll be counselors there, of course, to help you pick out the right animals. And you can listen to Animal World while you're driving on up there. All right. Okay. I have got just a little bit of news stuff here. Oh, that's about next week. I put this in just in a kind of a general news story. I mean, it sort of could have gone into news. Good news, but it's kind of a sad thing that gets us started. But it was a touching story, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention because of the conclusion, which I think is a little unusual. And it's not a cat story, but I got one of those coming up. Police dog Figo pays last respects to his fallen partner, Officer Jason Ellis. And I don't know if you saw this, but as a Kentucky canine officer was killed, and his partner, his dog, a beautiful German Shepherd. There's a fabulous photograph, and you could search it. Mm-hmm. Yes. I said Dr. Dennis saw it.
I saw it. Very touching.
Yeah, and you can tell the intuition of the dog, mm-hmm. knowing it was his partner. And the reason I pick it and bring it up is because, you know, I'm the first one to tell you, animals have feelings too. Mm-hmm. And what I think is unusual is that the Kentucky Police Department decided to retire the dog and allow him to live out his life with the family of the officer. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
Tuning in to the dog, that felt right. Mm-hmm. You know, now some, and that's, of course, why I'm always talking about let's talk to the animals and find out what they want. Because in some cases, you know, the dogs are here, you know, their sole purpose is to do the work they're doing, and they want to go to another officer or continue the work. There was like that story we told last week about the military officer and the bomb-sniffing dog, that they both got out alive, and he tracked down the dog, and then they surprised him by giving him the dog. Retiring it from the local bomb-sniffing job that it had. So anyway, it's nice that the dog gets to retire and live with the officer's family because now his job is to take care of the family. Here's another one. We can't quite classify this as good news, but this is a cat story for you, Dr. Dennis. And I'm sure if you saw the police dog, you have got to have seen the photographs on the internet of Grumpy Cat. Did you? Audrey's not.
Yes,
you remember
yes.
we've talked about mm-hmm. the stories, the Grumpy mm-hmm. Cat? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a, the breed.
Himalayan?
Not a Himalayan, the ones with the white feet, but they're like Himalayans.
Snowshoe.
But that's not ragdoll.
Oh, okay.
And the photograph of the cat's face, in fact, I'm sure Mike can Google it and come up with a photograph to show you, but the cat just looks ticked off. And so a friend of the owner put a picture on the internet, and it just went viral and everywhere. And this woman lives with the cat in Morristown, Arizona, population 227. Well, of course, the photograph was so popular online that a Hollywood talent agent, Ben Lashes, materialized in Arizona. And darn, Grumpy Cat now has a movie deal. So go figure. Grumpy Cat will be making a movie. All right, so that's my goofy news for today, and that leaves us with the best good news about animals. This often chases out the sun, so that's why we play it. Woohoo!
So we're not on air right now.
Yeah, we are. This is how we introduce the best good news about animals, and it often chases out the sunshine. So, and besides, I just like the song. Okay, first good news. This one is for me and for my golden retriever puppy, Robbie. But the hot news on the internet right now is Ray Charles, a blind golden retriever puppy who lives in Boston. And here's a picture. Here's a picture of Ray Charles in his little Boston baseball suit. And he was born to a litter, a breeder, and all the other dogs were kind of beating up on him. And he seemed to be on the shy side. And then the veterinarian is the one that realized that the dog was blind. But fortunately, someone stepped up to a family to adopt him, and they named him Ray Charles. And now there is a petition campaign, iPetitions.com, trying to get the Boston Bruins to invite Ray Charles to drop the puck at a future hockey game.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So we may have another star here. But it's just to let you know that that even animals with disabilities sometimes can live great lives. And the family's posted lots of photographs that the dog's able to do everything, you know, sighted dogs can do. And obviously you have to pay attention, but, you know, he's got a great life and he's doing well. And in some cases that might not be the case. But, you know, it's reminding me, Dr. Dennis, of years and years ago I took in a feral cat that found me, and she was pregnant and had kittens, and adorable kittens. And they would they were in my office, and they would get up into the desk, into the drawers. And it was the most unusual situation, because when I would go in to feed them or whatever, they didn't come running out. And I thought, geez, over all the years, because from way back when we weren't spaying and neutering all of our cats right away, I had lots of litters of kittens when I was, you know, young. And they just didn't behave normally. And it was, I didn't realize it until after I adopted them out. There were only two kittens, but they were deaf.
Oh.
Yeah. And one was an orange cat and one was a tortoiseshell kitten. Hmm. But they were both deaf. And that's the reason they, of course, didn't come bounding out of the office and the drawers, is because they couldn't hear.
They didn't know you were coming.
Yeah. But they actually the new owners figured it out pretty quickly, and they lived happy lives with the families that adopted them. But you know, they couldn't be indoor outdoor models, of course, not being able to hear traffic and stuff. But interesting. Hmm. All right, the last best good news about animals before we get official and Vet Sunday is Japanese firm stops selling endangered whale pet treats. So I thought this was kind of huge. The Michinoku, my apologies for my pronunciation, farm had been advertising jerky-like snacks for dogs made from North Atlantic fin whales at risk of extinction. And they stopped selling the luxury pet treat because of a campaign by conservation groups. And the treats were removed from its websites after protests from four groups, including a UK-based environmental investigation agency, the EIA, and the Animal Welfare Institute, AWI, of the United States. So I thought you'd like to know that sometimes, you know, you sign these petitions and stuff, it does make a difference. And the president of this Michinoku's pet food company said he decided to pull the product even though it's legal to sell in Japan. He said, quote, dogs are like family members for many people in Japan. We just wanted to sell a wide variety of food for dogs. Campaigners look at whales as important animals, but we consider dogs to be just as important. Maybe I was ignorant of the debate over whaling, but it's not worth selling the product if it risks angering some people. So the firm, which also, now get this, the firm also sells snacks made from kangaroo and Mongolian horse.
Hmm.
Now, I know kangaroos are considered pests sometimes in Australia and New Zealand and are used for pet food, but I didn't know about Mongolian horses. But anyway, I wanted to bring that to your attention just to let you know that sometimes when we protest these things, it does make a difference and we get, eventually, hopefully get whales off the menu completely. But it sounds like from the rest of the article that with all the international protest for the whaling and the scientific whaling, as they say, that more humans in Japan are aware of the problem and not wanting to eat the meat. Of course, it's contaminated anyway with all the chemicals in the ocean and all that sort of stuff. So humans are taking it off the menu, and now it's making it into pet food. But now with the protests, they're taking it out of the pet food. So that's a good thing, I think.
Good for that owner.
Yeah.
Standing up for what's right.
Yeah. Well, he was doing it more to cater to a wealthy clientele that would want to buy special things for their dogs. But he was smart enough to know as a business owner, you don't want to tick off, the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made a difference. I don't think it was his good conscience. I think it was
economics.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But and just to let you know that sometimes it's worth signing those petitions and squawking, even though it's something not going on in your area.
OK.
All right. So we are going to. Oh, there's one other news article, but, and it happens to mention there's actually an interview with someone that happens to be in the station in the studio with us.
Mike.
I think it might be Dr. Dennis.
Ah.
But I'll tell you about that in a moment. So let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. It is the most important part of the show because without them, there is no us. So listen, pay attention, support them, thank them. Stay right where you are because of Vet Sunday with Dr. Dennis Wackerbarth from Cats Exclusive and the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center begins straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Call into Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information. Natural Pet Pantry offers your pet the best homemade healthy food and treats, taking the work out of raw food for cats and dogs. Natural Pet Pantry's homemade natural cat and dog food is Seattle's original raw and cooked pet food. USDA certified, affordable, and local. Made here in the USA. Raw Foods natural enzymes build health with easy digestibility, providing increased energy levels and enhanced well-being in your pet, and prepared for your convenience. You'll find Natural Pet Pantry in local stores or free home delivery. NaturalPetPantry.com. It just makes sense. Call 206-850-0631. That's 206-850-0631. Have you ever wondered about the healing potential of the human-animal bond? This potential is the core of Dr. Penny Lloyd's veterinary practice, as her goal is to help animals and people heal each other. She does this utilizing holistic veterinary care, therapeutic interaction skills, and human-animal health games. Working mostly with horses, but now also incorporating small animals into her practice, Dr. Penny is available throughout the greater Seattle area by appointment. Learn more at connectionthebestmedicine.com or call 360-502-1114. That's 360-502-1114.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. It is the first Sunday of the month, and that is often Vet Sunday around here, and there's no exception today. It is Vet Sunday with Dr. Dennis and, let me get this, Walker Barth.
You're right, correct.
Okay, it's pronounced differently than it's spelled. And you are a veterinarian from our local area here, and you have a long history in the area.
I do.
And I said that we have, you and I have a sort of a connection that goes way, way back. And that's what I said earlier on. I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't had you on the show before now, because I've heard marvelous things about you for many, many years. And our connection that goes way back is that you have a really great hospital manager.
Correct. Patty.
Patty. And Patty, I actually, and is she good at her job?
She's excellent.
Okay. Well, because I trained her. Many, many years ago, when I was office manager at Green Lake Animal Hospital, her family were good clients, and her mother came in one day, and back in the day, there were so many kids, usually girls, that wanted to be veterinarians. You know, I was one of them, of course, in my day, and that's how I got started, was go down to the local veterinarian, volunteer. Anyway, and Patty's mom came in and said, you know, my girl is animal crazy. And, you know, do you think you could give her a volunteer job? And I did happen to need somebody at that moment. And so I did. And Patty came down and was a volunteer for me at Green Lake Animal Hospital in the office. And she was great, of course. And, of course, she never left. You know, she worked her way up through the ranks and ended up then managing satellite clinics for the whole thing. And I don't think she left there until she went to you. But yeah. It happened after my days, after I left and went fully into behavior therapy and training and all that kind of stuff. I know, you know, Patty was still there. And then the next thing I knew, because we just ran into each other here and there, you know, through animal stuff, that she was out at Cats Exclusive.
There was a 2 or 3 year period of time where she was in another practice before she came to us.
Okay.
I recall.
But she's been with you like forever, hasn't she?
I should know the number, but 20 plus years.
Yeah, long time. So anyway, over the years, Patty and I would run into each other. Now, at some point, she needed my help as a behavior therapist and trainer with a dog and that kind of stuff. And then we run into each other at different animal functions or, you know, and how are you? What are you doing? And I'd say, well, how do you like him? You know, and she'd just rave about how great. And we'd talk about, well, he's, you know, got to do Vet Sunday sometime. But I don't know what happened. I guess we just never got around to doing it. And then, you know, I told you that the other article I had in my news pile, it isn't from last week. It is actually from it's June now, probably earlier in May. Because I don't know, but there was a Como TV did a feature on feline hyperthyroidism.
Correct.
And, of course, they featured and interviewed Dr. Dennis Walker-Barth. And I saw the clip. And, of course, it's, you know, boy, and I'm getting so many questions about feline hyperthyroidism. And it comes up, and Aji, our, you know, call screener, is having a problem with her cat. And so it's been on my mind. And I thought, you know, I got to do that. And I work so much off of my intuitive senses. And then I saw you, the interview with you. I thought, oh, my gosh, Patty is so right. I just thought, I just adore his energy. His energy is great. So that's kind of how I do things. You know, crosses my path. I like the energy, man. Let's do it. So it's like I'm calling. So the Monday morning, I think I was on the phone leaving a message for Patty. And sure enough, here he is. So how cool is that?
It's all about the timing, Martha.
Yeah, all about the timing. Timing is right. So before we get to feline hyperthyroidism, let's go back to you, because obviously you've been in practice for a long time in this area. But did you know, I always say I knew when I popped out I wanted to work with animals. There was never any question for me. Have you been an animal lover all your life? Was this a path you knew you were going to take? Or how'd you want to be a vet?
I think I decided to be a veterinarian when I was about 8 or 10.
Okay, when you were young.
Yeah, yeah. And interestingly enough, growing up in a rural community in Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon, I started riding with the local veterinarian on the truck.
Ah.
And hanging out in the office a bit, but mostly on the truck. And so when I went to vet school, I thought I wanted to do cows because that was my understanding of what a veterinarian did. I mean,
right,
you went to a small town and you worked in a practice where you did all sorts of things. But in vet school, I decided that small animal medicine is what I enjoyed the most, because large animal is a different, you don't as often get to use the diagnostic tools, right? It's a lot of herd health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And medicine is a fun game to play relative to putting together the symptoms and the signs and coming up with a diagnosis. You know, it's intriguing. It's fun.
So did you go to vet school on the West Coast here? Because you grew up in Oregon.
Or... Well, I went to WSU, actually. And okay. Again, part of that interesting story is I almost turned WSU down when I got in because I wanted to go to Fort Collins because they had what I thought to be a better bovine or cow.
Cow
program.
School.
And mm-hmm. my advisor wisely said, no, Dennis, don't turn him down. You have no idea what you really want to do till you're there. And so I went from cows to cats. I didn't go actually to cats. I went to small animal medicine, got out for a while, practiced, found that I had an affinity for cats and they for me more than I consciously realized at the time. And then almost more importantly, I found it frustrating with the vast amount of knowledge that one should have to do all species. For me, at least, it just wasn't comfortable. So
like you always said, it's just got to be really so difficult to be a veterinarian because there's so many different kinds of animals you have to pay attention to if you're in general practice.
No, there are, and there's some people that do it very, very well. I just am a personality type that I know like to know a lot about a little.
Yeah. And, so you went to school, mm-hmm. thought you were going to do cows, but ended up in small animals.
Yeah.
We're good with that. Then you, coming out of vet school, you said you went into general practice for a while, so
well,
primarily dogs and cats.
Yeah, I called general practice cats and dogs, but small yeah. animal practice.
Small animal practice.
And I think,
and was that here in the Seattle
yeah, it was
area?
It was in West Seattle.
Okay.
I practiced at a practice for about a year and a half. Then I moved to the East Coast in that age group where you just pick up and go, and lived outside of New York City for about a year and a half in New Jersey, and realized that I was genetically West Coast and needed to see raging rivers and snow-capped mountains in my background, and so I moved back, and by that point in time had recognized that cats were what I wanted to do. If
now,
I
have
wanted...
you always been a cat person in your life?
Yeah.
Because, you know, cat people are different than dog people, especially cat guys. You know, there are more cat girls than cat guys.
That's right. No, I've always been a cat person. I grew up, again, in a rural community as an only child, and so my playmates were cats on those rainy afternoons.
Well, generally, too, because I do a lot of energy work, you know, as a behavior therapist, and I always say, generally speaking, dogs are male energy and cats are female, and of course there's exceptions to that, but this is actually is a compliment, and I can see it in you, is that men that like cats are usually more comfortable with their right brain, feminine or female energy, and you feel very balanced to me.
Well, thank you.
But that means generally when you are attracted to cats, means that your right brain is more accessible to you. So you are more creative and you have more to utilize in the work that you're doing. But so you knew as a young child, cats were something that you got along with.
I don't know that I knew it consciously. It was just what it was.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I didn't make anything of it. It was just what it was.
Yeah, and for those of you, that have listened to me for so long, because when I grew up, I was more of a dog person, but I was so sensitive as a child, I shut down my female side and went more into male energy, and I thought I was doing dog, one of the first intuitives I worked with said, you know, you're really here to do more work with cats and dogs, and I said, like, yeah, right. And of course, now look at me. You know, I do so much more work than with cats than with dogs, and I adore cats. But you know, I have to work at being in balance. It looks like it comes more naturally to you. So before we started the show this morning, you had some really wonderful comments about when you decided to practice only with cats, as opposed to staying in a general practice of small animals. And how long, that happened a long time ago, didn't it?
Well, I started Cats Exclusive in 1981. And again, the reason was I liked them the best. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do this for 30 or maybe now 40 years, since 30 is in my rearview mirror, I should do what I like to do the best. And And as well, it allowed me then to spend my time learning about one species. Back in that day in particular, cats were very much, you know, they would lecture on dogs and they'd at the very end saying it's the same in the cat, which of course it's not. There's been a huge shift in veterinary medicine and the awareness of cats over these last years, especially in the last five.
And I'm trying to remember back in 81, weren't you the first cats exclusive practice to
begin, or was
there something else down in the
Stoneway?
Yeah, what was on Stoneway? That wasn't cats exclusive that was something else.
Actually, Dr. Bill Lean started that, and it was Cat Clinic of Seattle, and then Bill Freitag and Terry DeMere went there, and now it's under new ownership. I was, I think, the 16th or the 18th feline practice in the United States.
Okay.
And now there
that's
are probably
right, 600. That's right, because I do remember that there's a Stoneway and that the Cat Clinic started, and then sometime after that, Cats Exclusive. But it didn't take very long before the reputation of Cats Exclusive kind of really started to climb. And I was, you know, being in the field, hearing lots of really great stuff about what you were doing.
Yeah, we've always tried to, you know, be on the edge, if you will, of reasonable cutting medicine. You know,
And Cats Exclusive has grown into quite a large practice today, has it not?
You know, we've got 7 doctors and a staff of about 35. So yeah, we've got a big facility. As you said earlier, we've got doctors who have different areas of interest. Some people might be a little more interested in nutrition or behavioral things, internal medicine, geriatric medicine.
Excellent. So of those 7 veterinarians, there are specialty related to cats within.
Yeah, or special interest
related to cats.
Right. One of our docs is board certified in feline medicine and is boarded in acupuncture as well. So we've got.
And board certifies means they've got more education in that particular specialty?
In feline, yes.
Okay. Now, you started to say that. You know, when you started Cats Exclusive, you wanted to focus on just one species, and you like learning a lot about one thing?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Right.
So at some point, because at this point we have to for anybody that doesn't know, you left the general practice of cats.
Right. Well, it evolved.
Yeah. I mean, so take us on that trip. How did that happen?
Well, I guess starting with how did I start Hyperthyroid Treatment Center? Back in the day, I was doing, well, actually, you know, hyperthyroid was first diagnosed in about 1978 or 79.
Is that the first time?
Right.
Okay. Because when I grew up and when I, my time as a vet tech in veterinary medicine, I mean, it was unheard of.
It was unknown. I mean, it was probably one of those things that we misdiagnosed in the early 70s to mid-70s as another form of leukemia, because in that day, even diagnosing leukemia, feline leukemia, is very difficult.
Yeah.
And
testing
took 2 weeks, and you had to send it back someplace on the East Coast.
Right.
There's one place.
Remember that.
It was very difficult. And so anytime you got a weird case in cats, again, back in the day when there was so little known about them, it just fell under the umbrella of probably this is leukemia and this cat needs to be put to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. So then hyperthyroidism was first defined by Dr. Mark Peterson out at AMC. And
that was in 1978?
78, 79. That's when I was back in New Jersey, actually. And I remember I was working about 8 o'clock one night wrapping up my records, and I got this fax from the AMC and from the lab we used it, and they just said, there's a new disease this guy's just defined. And I looked at it, I read the signs, and I went, well, now I got to put that on my rule out list for diabetes, because it sort of sounds the same as when I see a diabetic cat. I got to put this new thing on there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how often we're going to see it? I'll probably never.
Right? Yeah.
Right. So then I moved back here. Did Cats Exclusive for a while. That was in 81 I started. And then, you know, hyperthyroidism really picked up in us seeing it, because we were now looking for it. It wasn't any longer some unknown illness that couldn't be cured. And there were medications available. Surgery was available. The medications didn't work so well, had some side effects that we didn't like. ultimately cost quite a lot because of the repetitive lab work you have to do to follow the drug in the cat and making sure it's not causing a problem. So I was doing a lot of surgery at the time. I mean, there were days I'd do 4 thyroidectomies that were being referred in from local veterinarians.
All right. Now, we've got to take another time out here and take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. But we will continue here with kind of the evolution and the creation of the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center. But I don't want to just skip over the disease itself.
Right.
Because I as I recall, I was still pretty connected with the world of veterinary medicine back in the 80s, although I wasn't working in veterinary hospitals as much anymore and was working more with behavior and so forth. But it was very early on that your name got associated with feline hyperthyroid. And I don't know whether it was because you were just doing more. Like you said, you were in surgery a lot and doing 4 removing the thyroids a day, surgery type stuff. But it was very early on in this process that Dr. Dennis's name was like all over the place. So we'll find out why that is and how this evolution began. And then we're definitely going to kind of pick apart the disease. Good. What is it?
Right.
And what are the signs? And then I know I still, as much background as I have, I don't really understand. I know that there are the medical treatments, but there's also this radiation sort of stuff, and there's the surgery stuff, and there's all kinds of stuff we need to know. And it's very, very common. And if the news story that brought you to my attention and actually got you on the show at this time is at all right on it, we may be kind of figuring out what might be causing this stuff. So anyway, fascinating discussion yet to come, and we will open up phone lines for your questions about feline hyperthyroidism. And Aji's at the head of the line because she's got the problem with her cat. So stay with us. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
In Clover is introducing a new canine skin and coat supplement called Glow. Glow is a revolutionary new soft chew clover-shaped supplement that gets into the root issues of optimal skin and coat health. Glow combines a complete blend of clinically tested DHA Gold Omega-3, biotin and zinc, along with a bioavailable and tasty nutrition from the whole fresh eggs to allow Glow to work from the inside out to nourish and soothe our dog's skin. Get Glow for your dog's comfortable skin and shiny coat. Go to inclover.com for more information and where to buy. Interest rates are low and you're considering refinancing. But where do you go? You want an experienced lender and a reputable company. Someone who offers VA, FHA, conventional, investment, and reverse mortgages. You want a mortgage lender who works with 65 different investors and someone who shares your values, someone you can trust. That someone is Margaret Peggy Kaler, Senior Loan Officer at Cornerstone Home Lending Incorporated. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615 or visit PeggyKaler.com. It's a smart move. NMLS number 393352 and WA-CL 803075. BioClean Incorporated is a fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractor working under the authority of the Washington State Health Department. BioClean helps with extremely difficult situations, including hoarding of both objects and animals, the cleanup of trauma scenes, rodent infestations, mold issues, and cleanup of the aftermath of sewage and flood events. If the unthinkable happens to you and you're faced with a situation that involves a crime, trauma, or tragedy, you need to call BioClean. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated pride themselves on combining compassion with expertise and professionalism. Serving all of Washington State, BioClean offers professional certified 24-hour emergency service with no additional charge for night or weekend calls. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300 or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information. For the last 30 years, family-owned Bothell Feed Center has carried products for all your critters. Committed to providing high-quality, well-formulated feed and care products for guinea pigs to chinchillas, chickens to wild birds, as well as your cats and dogs. At Bothell Feed, not only will you find a large variety of products with competitive pricing, but the friendly and knowledgeable staff will recommend the best products for your particular animal friend. BothellFeedCenter.com, your modern feed store with old farm charm. Visit today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Conscious Living for Conscious People. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. You're listening to Animal World, and for that I say thank you. We're here 9 a.m. to noon every Sunday morning, and it is a Vet Sunday. Dr. Dennis Walker-Barth is here from the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center in Linwood. Now, I'm just going to say, is the Hyperthyroid Treatment Center located at Cats Exclusive? Are you the same, like, facility?
We have a Shoreline location where Cats Exclusive is and Hyperthyroid Treatment Center.
And Linwood before it's really Shoreline.
Right. Well, originally when I started, it was in Edmonds.
Okay.
And then they widened Highway 99 to 10 feet in front of our door, and so we had to move. And then we have a Tacoma location that's Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center alone exclusively.
Ah, okay. But at this point in the Shoreline area, Cats Exclusive and the Feline Hyperthyroid
share
a building.
Right.
And then there's a separate Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center in Tacoma.
Correct.
Okay, good. Now, so we're kind of working on the evolution of the Feline Hyperthyroid Center. And was it back when you were talking about, would this be what... 80s, 90s sort of time where you were starting to do the hyperthyroid surgery and so forth?
Well, yeah, I started that right from the get-go. I mean, as soon as I opened the clinic and, you know, it had been a disease entity for 2 years then, so we were seeing it and doing surgery.
And did you see more of it simply because you were Cats Exclusive only seeing cats?
No.
As opposed to other veterinary practices?
I think in that day particularly because it just wasn't on everybody's radar like it is now. And yeah, I mean, you'd hear veterinarians who would say, I've never seen a case. And back then, I think we just didn't recognize it. That's not the case now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a publicized, known disease that everybody really is looking for it and knows what to look for. So back with the surgeries, then, you know, I was seeing these cats. They did very well, but you're taking old cats. I mean, the average age of onset's a little over 13 years, you know, and most cats are in the 10 to 19 or 20-year-old range when they get it.
So you want kittens, young cats, don't have a problem with the hyperthyroid? It's just as they get older, huh?
Typically, no. I have talked with a very reputable veterinarian who said that she diagnosed an 18-month-old. I don't have firsthand, but she's a great veterinarian. Hmm. I've seen a 4-year-old that has had it, but it's really unusual to find it in less than 7-year-old cats and really typically in 10 and above.
And what would be the typical signs of hyperthyroidism? What would a cat owner see that would indicate that might be a problem? Or what do they bring them to you for?
Yeah, usually weight loss, increased appetite, or the cats just look unthrifty, yet they're very often overactive. Sometimes they're meowing more at night. Some cats will have increased water consumption. Some will have increased urination. Some will have vomiting. But mostly weight loss and increased appetite are the two most common visual or visible signs.
And how's the disease diagnosed?
Blood tests are the confirmation. 90% of the cats, you can feel an enlarged thyroid, and cats shouldn't have palpable thyroids typically. But again, that's something, when I first started this, I could probably feel 30% of the thyroids.
And the thyroid gland is in the throat area? Yeah, and so you can actually feel that it's enlarged? Are there tumors involved?
Well, in the beginning, it was a real argument as to how to name it. Some people wanted to call it an adenoma, which means a benign tumor, and some people wanted to call it a hyperplasia. So there were bickering back and forth, and finally they called it adenomatosis hyperplasia. So it is a kind of a benign tumor, but not a cancer. Typically, though, we can see thyroid carcinoma, though it's very, very uncommon in cats.
So that would be cancer of the thyroid gland.
Right.
But you say that's very uncommon.
Very uncommon. Okay. Some literature says it's 4%. I don't think it's 4%. If it's 4%, then most of them respond to I-131. I would say it's less than 1% of the cats that have thyroid cancer that's more difficult to resolve.
Okay, and then you say that typically you don't see it until the cat's 7 years or older.
Generally
speaking, do you have a feel percentage-wise as to how many of our domestic cats are affected by hyperthyroid?
I've read pieces that will say as much as 10% of senior cats, 4 to 10%. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. But it's a pretty high percentage, isn't it?
Yeah, it would surprise me if it were 10%. If it is, then we're not seeing them at where I work, and I think we see a lot of cats.
When you were mentioned that you were doing maybe sometimes 4 surgeries a day, and that was removing the thyroid gland, was that the original treatment was taking out the thyroid?
Well, there are medications. One was called propithiouracil, which was the first drug. It had some side effects that were concerning, some of which were fatal. Then tapazole, which is...
That's the name I recognize.
Right, and that one has less side effects. It works well in... You know, I used to say to people that 10% of the cats would go... that went on tapazole would get 100% better, and 70% that went on it would get 70% better, and 20 to 30% wouldn't tolerate it or didn't do very well on it. So, and side effects are with that drug most commonly are some facial itching, scabbiness around the eyes and the ears, and over the entire body in some of the worst cases, and that's resolved very easily once you stop the drug. Cats uncomfortable when they're on it, but you know it and you can stop it. Some will have GI upset with the drug, vomiting, diarrhea. And then there are some bad things that occur where they have aplastic anemias where it'll affect the bone marrow in reversible, sometimes irreversibly. I had a veterinarian who was prepping her cat for surgery for me to do back in the day. And of all cats who are going to be looked at closely, it's your own cat. Well, you know, ultimately that cat, or quickly, I should say, that cat's bone marrow was affected. They transfused the cat multiple times and it ultimately died because it just didn't rebound from the drug. So,
well, I mean, obviously there's a lot to talk about with this disease. Unfortunately, we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. So we're going to close out this hour. Stay right where you are, folks, because we're not going to be out of here for long. And we will come back and continue our discussion. And we haven't talked about yet, can we just make an appointment and come and see you? Or do we have to get a referral? Or do you go to, you know, there are all kinds of stuff we want to know about. And Audrey's got some very specific questions. And we want to open the phone lines for you here in not too long a time if you have specific questions about the disease. So stay with us. Animal World continues. We are talking with Dr. Dennis Walker-Barth from the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center here, right here locally in Shoreline, Washington. Stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.